It's a boy! Hello, everybody. What is up? Welcome to Maniac with the Machete, a horror podcast where we take a look at a horror franchise. I'm your host, Jason Sodal, and joining me is my friend who I've been subjecting these movies to, Rachel Thoreau. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Jason. What's up?
How are you today, besides your cold?
I'm okay-ish.
Okay, that's good. So Rachel's guys is dealing with a cold, so she's going to be not talking as much, which is fine cuz people accuse me of talking too much anyway, so this might all work out for the best.
Now there's a reason.
Now it actually might play out. So if you're new to this podcast, this is a show where we go through a movie franchise. We did Friday the 13th last season. We're now doing Nightmare on Elm Street. And today we are going to be doing Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5, The Dream Child. Before we do that, though, I did want to talk for a second, Rachel, if you can respond.
Okay.
I did watch an interesting horror movie I did kind of want to talk about really quickly. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's called Ready or Not.
Yes, I saw it in the theater.
Isn't that, like, fucking awesome?
It was very awesome. I liked it very much.
I really enjoyed it. Like, I didn't have any expectations going in. I just heard people talking about it, like, on Twitter and, you know, stuff. And people said, oh, it's a pretty good movie. And, you know, the premise sounded interesting. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to check it out. I'm a little jealous you got to see it in theaters. but yeah, that's cool. The main girl did, a fantastic job.
Yeah. I did not pay attention to it at all when it was first advertised. I saw a post or something for it, and I was like, oh, cool, it's Margot Robbie. What's she in now? Oh. And I looked it up, and it was not Margot Robbie. And I was like, oh, well, okay, whatever, I don't care. I didn't watch the trailer or anything. And then it came out in theater, and my mom, who is not a horror fan at all, she will not watch a horror movie.
Uh-huh.
She was like, yeah, I'm thinking I'll go in the movies this weekend, either this movie or Ready or Not. I'm like, wait, what did you just say? And so I had to go and watch the trailer if my mom was willing to go see it. And then I realized that it had more of that dark comedy aspect.
Yeah.
Very Cabin in the Woods for me.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Just the humor, the setup, I guess.
I can kind of,
I mean,
get that.
Yes, it all gets much darker by the end, but
yeah.
But like initially you're kind of like, okay, this is weird and creepy, but also funny as hell. So
I
really enjoyed it.
I never know how to like categorize these things because it's kind of a dark comedy, but then what makes a dark comedy in a horror movie that has comedic elements into it? Like, what's the line there and what's the difference, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a personal preference or if there's actually like requirements.
Because I can see like the horror element, like, you know, she's in this fucked up situation, which is a horror movie, but then you have all these like comedic stuff happening, you know. And I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who hasn't seen it. No. But there's some really funny moments in this movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you watch the trailer, I mean, so I think you can give away anything. Like,
well, see, here's the thing, I didn't even see the trailer. Saw a poster. Someone I follow on Twitter, because I still follow a lot of movie people from back in my movie reviewing days, do like a blurb about it, and you know they said kind of what it was about, and then like it was a horror movie, and then I was like, that actually sounds like a really interesting movie. I actually want to check that out, okay. And I'm really glad that I did. I didn't see a trailer. I didn't really watch a trailer, so I don't know what's in there or not. But yeah, it's really awesome. And I just, yeah, okay. But I'm glad you got to see it. So So you do really like it, though?
Yes, I really did.
Okay, awesome.
I mean, when I went and watched the trailer, after my mom said something about it. I was like, well, this could be interesting. But then I was even more pleasantly surprised at how much fun it was.
Yeah.
When I did see it.
It's not like a super, it probably sounds weird, like a super serious movie, you know, like it knows what it is. And it accomplishes what it's going to accomplish. And,
right.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you could be nitpicky about, but, like, it's just a fun time.
Right. Well, I mean, when I first heard about it, when I realized it wasn't Margot Robbie, and I just read, like, the synopsis, it was, like, something about, like, a deadly game of hide and seek. I'm like, oh, it's just, like, one of those, like, Ouija movies or some shit like that. Oh. I'm like, no thanks, pass. But then it was so... nothing like that.
I can kind of see that, like, that title does kind of make it sound like it would be,
yeah,
like those teen PG-13 type movies, but no, it's definitely not. So yeah, if anyone out there was like thinking that's what it's definitely not, it's definitely an R-rated movie. It's definitely got here's the thing, it's not like super gory either. Like, there's some like kills and there's some like blood and stuff until the end.
To the end,
yeah. But then even that, like, that play is so played by, like, you know, by comedic standards, you know, like, it's just,
right.
when it happens, it's just so funny, like, you're just laughing when that whole scene was happening. I was just laughing the entire time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, they need to make more movies like that. Like, I do know that the directors, who called themselves Radio Silence, they did a segment in the VHS movie, the first one. Have you seen that?
I don't think I've watched all of it. I mean, I've seen several of those anthology type movies that was just on when my husband was watching them, but I couldn't tell you which ones I've watched and which ones I haven't.
Okay. Yeah, they did a segment in the first VHS movie, which I love the VHS movies. Like, those are awesome movies as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else these directors have in store, because I think they need to do more stuff. So okay, enough new horror stuff. Let's go back to the 80s. We're going to 1989 to be exact, and we're gonna talk about Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5: The Dream Child. So this is one of the last slasher movies that came out in the 80s. The 80s was like the heyday of slasher movies. And so now this was one of the last ones. This came out in August 11th, 1989, had a budget of $6 million, and it grossed $22.2 million. So it didn't do too bad at all. And it is just a direct follow-up to Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, featuring a lot of the same people, same main stars, same producer, different director. We don't got Rennie Harlan this time. Which, considering the direction this movie went, I kind of wonder what Rennie Harlan could have done with it. Because the comic book scene alone, I think, would have just been amazing.
Oh, Lord.
So, okay, so we're going to go into the plot a little bit, but I do want to talk about something after we go over the movie with you. So, because that was something I was thinking of today when I was watching the film. But first, the plot of the story. Begins with sex.
Yep.
Good old.
But thank God it does, because I had not watched this movie, and I only kind of knew a premise about it. Like, they're obviously in the title, and you know it's Freddy. I for years like thought like Freddy had somehow raped a woman to impregnate her with his baby. So I'm glad it started with consensual sex between Alice and Dan.
Okay.
And it's just him trying to take over their love child.
Well, I don't blame you for thinking that, because the whole movie, Freddy keeps saying it's his kid. So, right. You know, if you just...
So I don't know if it was like seeing commercials when I was a kid for it or what. But for you, yeah, I thought that Freddy had somehow raped a woman in a dream and got her pregnant and it was his baby. And so I was... immediately put at ease with the consensual sex happening at the beginning.
Well, yeah.
Which is a weird statement, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. That probably would have fit in very well with the movie if that was what happened.
Yeah.
because there's a lot of stuff like that happening here.
Right. Well, also considering the backstory and everything else.
Right.
Obviously. Yeah.
So we have returning characters, Alice and Dan from the previous movie, played by the same actors. And it's supposed to be a year later. And Alice and Dan are the ones having sex. And as they finish up, Alice goes to take a shower. She ends up in the shower, and it starts, like, breaking down on her, and the water fills up in the shower, and this weird, like, gloopy stuff, like, comes up from the drain. And, like, I'm not, like, a neat freak or anything, but, like, I was kind of yelling at the screen when she just went and grabbed the stuff coming up from the drain. I was like, why are you doing that?
Nasty.
I was like, ew.
Girl, don't... you got to put some industrial strength rubber gloves on for that.
Right? And so this ends up, like, transporting her to, like, it is an insane asylum, but we don't know that yet. It's just a hospital. And basically what's happening is she's reliving a memory of Amanda Krueger, who is Freddy's father. Or mother. Sorry. I don't know why I said... Oh, I know why I said father. I'm reading something on Wikipedia. Sorry. Okay. Mother. And we kind of get... like she's kind of seeing things like from like Amanda's point of view, but then she wakes up she ends up in the tower. Cause if you remember part three, with Dr. Bill Maher, he got visited by the ghost of Amanda Krueger, who told him that, that Freddy was conceived while, his mother Amanda got locked into a tower with 100 exactly 100 maniacs.
Yes.
Despite the guy counting them.
we see in this memory that it was just an estimation because one guy just really wanted to leave.
Yeah.
So, dude, let's go.
But I don't know, like 76 maniacs don't sound that good. 100 sounds better, so.
Yeah.
It's always good to 100. Round up. Just round up. Just fucking right. Round up.
That's right.
So we kind of see her, you know, locked in this tower. We see Robert Englund sans Freddy makeup. So if you never knew what he looked like outside of the Freddy makeup, there you go. You got a scene here. Yep. And then Alice wakes up and realizes it was a dream, and she's all like, "Oh no, Freddy's back!" And she tells, you know, Dan. And by the way, I got to give it up to Alice. She found some new friends really quickly over the course of a year.
I mean, she got herself a brand new posse of ride or dies.
Like, right.
Immediately after losing her last group.
Right.
And I'm all like, I don't think I'd be putting in an application considering what happened to everybody else.
Considering the 9 people died last year around you, I think I'm just going to steer clear from you. No offense, Alice.
Yeah, I mean... But it's the same situation. You got the jock and
it
the female
is.
Jock and the model and the nerdy comic book guy, but not yep. really nerdy, more like annoying nerd, but not like super, not like the nerdy girl with asthma from the last one. So they're kind of branching into these other territories.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but what if it had just been Alice all by herself?
It would have been a short movie.
But what if, like, all these people did avoid her or bullied her or whatever, and then they started dying too? Like, Freddy was connected with her, and so he started picking them off. And then people started looking at her like she... I'm completely rewriting a movie that's not going to be made, but I just... To go out and get this brand new group of friends that act like they've been BFFs since kindergarten when that group already died, it was just... That was the most annoying part to me. Just to fill all of those little trope slots that they needed to do to have enough teenagers to kill off again. I don't know. While I was watching, I was thinking of better alternatives for the screenplay.
Yeah. No, she has to have friends. So
I know.
So yeah, like Rachel said, there's all these tropes. We have this this one girl who's super into swimming. We have this one girl who is half wants to be a model, half is being forced to be a model,
right?
By her like super overbearing mom, and then we got this dude who is into comics, and he's into them in the aspect that he wants to draw comics, and then you have Dan, who's the jock,
It was still Dan. He's the popular jock.
The jock guy, right. And so we see them graduate from high school.
Which they seem very okay with the fact that half their class is dead from the last four movies. Right. I mean, if anybody died before we graduated, they left like an empty chair for them.
Yep.
With, you know, a robe and cap and gown, and then what would have been their diploma sitting in that chair.
Yep.
Not here, because then nobody would show up.
There were seven graduates of this high school class.
Yeah, and they all took a picture together.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the only ones left, so they had the bond.
Yeah, that could be it. Because there was no bullies in this one. There was no, like, you know, major asshole. Like, that just got filled in by, like, the parents. Like, the parents were, like, the asshole characters in this one.
Yeah.
So we get this, like, weird introduction of, like, the parents alongside this. Like, on top of that, we get, like, the bitchy mom who wants the daughter to be the supermodel. We get the Dan's parents, who's all like, you need to be a jock and be a football, and here's a football guy who's gonna recruit you.
This movie is so off. They're graduating high school and they're just now introducing him to a football coach. I mean, sorry, those dudes are already fucking signed by the end of the previous season.
See, I don't know anything about sports, so
you don't pick which college you're going to the day of your high school graduation, especially for playing sports.
You've got that
shit locked down.
I guess that does make sense. Yeah, all right.
Scholarships,
I guess,
and everything else.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And then we get reintroduce ourselves to Alice's dad, who, if you remember from the previous movie, was an alcoholic asshole.
He was just your standard drunk. I mean, there was nothing that exciting about him.
But then this time he was sober, and then he was really less excited.
Yeah.
He was just there. Like, he literally was just there. Like, he didn't do anything. He was just
no
there.
Sadness over her dead brother.
No, they completely, like, erased the brother, like, immediately.
Not like,
not
he's
a mention.
Supposed to be here, too.
Nope. Yeah, no mention, nothing.
Yeah.
And then here's the thing: you're graduating high school. Wouldn't you think that'd be enough to take like a day off from work?
Yeah, I would think so.
But no, Alice has to go to work like immediately after she graduates high school. Like, damn, this boss is fucking cruel as hell. You graduated high school. You better get your sweet cans in here by 8 o'clock, Missy. Like.
Those tables, like, aren't going to serve themselves.
Fucking high school graduate. You can graduate with the pie. Yeah. I don't know.
But then again, she and Dan were planning their trip to Paris. So maybe she needed money. And so she's like, I'll work any shift.
I guess so.
She obviously wasn't expecting much of a party out of her dad, who she wasn't even expecting to show up. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He didn't show up at first, but then he did. And. Yeah, so she starts walking to work, and she comes across the kids who do the 1, 2, 3, he's coming for you, and then she then goes into this like weird sequence of events where she like ends up in like an insane asylum, and she goes back and forth between being in the body of Amanda Krueger and watching Amanda Krueger in the hospital after she got. Impregnated and was about to give birth to Freddy. Then we watch her give birth to Freddy, which ends up just being this like weird little like demonic child thing.
What the fuck is that?
Who then crawls out of the room and goes into the setting of the last movie, where it was like a church, and the baby crawls into Freddy's clothes, and then he's reborn, literally reborn. And then Alice is like, why is this happening? I'm not dreaming. I'm not asleep. And she gets like a hint from like the ghost of Amanda saying, hey, if you find my body, I'll help you or whatever. And then we find out that she goes to work. She's 4 hours late, which the clock shows it's midnight. And then it goes to like them, like the friends at like a pool, which I'm assuming is either at the school or like a public pool. I don't know. I couldn't really determine what that was.
Okay, so the one friend's a swimmer, and she's like, "Well, I still have the key to the pool because I have swim practice until 6:30 tomorrow." I'm like, "Bitch, you just graduated. Why are they still? Why? What are you practicing for?"
Yeah. Okay. I must have missed that.
Why are they giving you a key? You don't go to school here anymore.
Okay, I must have missed that part. Yeah. Okay, so
they were trying to figure out where they were gonna party.
So then she calls Dan because she's freaking out about what had just happened, and he's on his way over, and we get
my question is, where was she for 4 hours? Is she just standing in the middle of the park, catatonic, and nobody says anything about this weird chick just staring off into space?
Yeah.
Did her body disappear into this memory alternate dimension or past or whatever is going on?
Well,
I don't know.
I think there's a lot of like spiritual. We're going to get into this, but I think there's a lot of spiritual stuff happening in this movie. So we get a scene that I actually kind of like. Actually, this was like one of like my favorite scenes where Dan is rushing over to where Alice works. Hey, it's Alice's restaurant. Huh? I didn't make that. I had to make that joke last time. How did I not think of that last time? So he rushes over. Of course, he falls asleep while driving, and so Freddy shows up in his truck and starts, driving the truck. And then Dan like flies out of the truck, but then he's okay. And now he's forced to take a motorcycle that just happened to be there. And
with
so while taking. While taking the motorcycle, Freddy shows up in the motorcycle, and this is a little hard to describe, but Freddy turns himself into like the motorcycle and then turns Dan into the motorcycle. And I was like, that's kind of a neat scene, actually. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, it looks really outdated because it's 1989, but it looked kind of cool. I was like, this is kind of neat. And then, of course, it was all a dream, and Dan was actually driving his truck, and then he rams right into a semi, killing himself. Alice does see this happen. She runs out into the streets and faints. When she wakes up, she finds out Dan is dead, and she's pregnant with Dan's kid.
Yep.
And while in the hospital, she sees this young boy named Jacob. who talks about, that he's, sick in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. But when the next day she finds out there was no kid named Jacob. Ooh. So Alice is going crazy, like saying, oh, my God, Dan was killed by Freddy and he's back. And none of her friends will listen, of course, because this is that kind of movie where no one wants to believe anybody instantly.
Yeah, and even though, like, what happened to all of your last friends?
Right. I mean, were you not in the same school last year?
All, like, new transfers that you just latched onto the day they came?
That's what happened. They're new, so they didn't know. So she's like, people I can talk to. We just don't talk about Freddy Krueger. Oh, shit, Freddy Krueger's happening. Damn it. So if she moves to a new town, she's going to have to completely, like not even mention, like, anything about it. Be like, no, I don't know anything about that Springfield town that Freddy, who? Like, what? What are you talking about? she finds out she's pregnant. And then the friends don't believe her. Until, like, one by one, slowly the friends start believing her. And the first person we see get killed by Freddy is Greta, the supermodel chick, who's having a dinner party, which Wikipedia puts this in the most confusing manner. That afternoon at a dinner party. So is it afternoon or is it a dinner party? Like, I guess you could have a dinner party at like 3 and have it go to like 10. I don't know.
Rich people, but, man.
Yeah. And she's rich, apparently, so I guess that's what rich people do. So at a dinner party, Greta falls asleep at the table, and she has this nightmare where she's being harassed by her mom and these horrible people with really terrible mullets. Did you check out the mullets in this table?
Yeah. I thought the whole thing was they weren't falling asleep. Like Dan was driving, he wasn't asleep, and Greta was like, it just happened to her at the table. Like I didn't think they were asleep at all. See, and that's what was so confusing.
I think it depends. So Alice is not the one falling asleep. It's normally when Alice experiences stuff, she's asleep. So all the stuff that Alice has been going through is while she's awake. Everybody else, like Dan and Greta and everyone else, they have fallen asleep. He's just, okay, we're jumping ahead a little bit here, but he's just kind of using the power, you know, that he got to jump into these people's dreams because, you know, Alice has an ability to jump into people's dreams. So Freddy's kind of using her ability, but they're still falling asleep. Like, you know, Alice is the only one who's still awake when she does her dream stuff. So, yeah, because they do show Greta, you know, falling asleep at the table. And then she has the nightmare where she, you know, she's being made fun of. And then Freddy shows up as a waiter and, like, stuffs her full of food. Even doing, like, the little airplane thing. That was funny. And then she starts choking and then she dies in real life. And so apparently Mark, the comic book guy, okay, I couldn't tell if they were actually dating or he just had a crush on her.
I think he just had a crush on her.
I can't remember them being together, the one scene they were all together in this movie. But he's like taking it super hard. So much so that in this weird warehouse he lives in.
Don't know, man.
It was a warehouse though, right? Like that was clearly a warehouse, and like his dad owned the warehouse that he also lived in. I don't know. It was weird. He's just kind of skating around. I thought that was kind of funny. He was just skating around his warehouse, just all mopey and full of like just anger and yelling at the swimming chick and So while trying to, you know, trying to get over, you know, Greta's death, Mark falls asleep, and Alice sees that he falls asleep and that he's going into Freddy's house. Hashtag it's Nancy's house for real. And this part they cracked me up. So he's an artist, and so he falls asleep, and Alice sees this as she's awake, and she sees that Mark is in the drawing of Freddy's house, and so to put herself into it, she draws this simple, like, stick figure of a woman, like, you know, like a stick figure, and then puts, like, the triangle for the dress, and then writes Alice and this works. Like, this actually works to get her to go into the dream. And so this is how Mark, you know, basically knows that this is real, this is actually happening. He goes into Freddy's house, and there's a wormhole in the middle of the living room that he's slipped into, but Alice managed to save him in time. Oh, and then this dude Mark's got this thing where he can't see blood. Or he's gonna like pass out.
Makes him faint. Yeah. But he's squeamish.
I do think it's funny that this worked opposite in that he saw blood in his dream, which woke him up. Because he saw blood in the dream, and then he freaked out so much that he woke up. But Alice was still in the dream, and she comes across the kid Jacob again. And this is where she finds out that Jacob is actually her kid. It's the baby, you know, the kid she's pregnant with. And this is how she kind of finds out that Freddy's, you know, manipulating the baby, and the baby's having dreams. And so that's how she's, you know, doing all the stuff while she's awake, because he's doing it through the fetus. And then this leads to a whole question about, can fetuses dream? And, which, you know, you kind of have to wonder, like, what could a fetus dream about? Like, you know.
Not only that, but, like, how the fuck would a doctor know? I mean, yeah, you can tell that a baby's sleeping in the womb, but how would you even know if it's dreaming? Oh, and as it grows, it spends 70% of its day dreaming. And as it grows, that time increases. How the fuck do you know what it's doing?
So she, after she realizes all of this, she goes to get an ultrasound. And, you know, asks the doctor, like, you know, hey, baby's dream, blah, blah, blah. She gets an ultrasound. And, okay, here's where I'm going to need your expertise, Rachel, because you've given birth twice.
Yep.
They made this sound like she just got pregnant, like, not even a month ago.
Yeah, like, pretty much the night before graduation, which was, like, 3 days ago.
Can you do an ultrasound that early in the pregnancy and see a baby like that, or does it take a while?
It takes a fucking while.
Okay.
in fact, that soon, she probably would not even known she was pregnant with a home pregnancy test. I'm not even sure that the hospital would be able to tell that soon.
With even
a blood draw. Yeah. Because of the way that works. But definitely, that ultrasound is bullshit. Because when most women go in, when they find out they're pregnant, they go in around 6 weeks pregnant, which is technically a month after conception.
Right.
But 6 to 8 weeks. When you go in, everybody sees the peanut, which is just like this tiny little weird peanut shape inside. And that's all the baby is at the time. And so she's like 3 days past conception. She, in fact, the baby, I'm not even sure that she would technically be pregnant yet.
Okay.
How long it takes. I'm getting way too scientific, but how long it takes the sperm to travel to get there and impregnate somebody. Cause it takes like 5 days or something.
Okay.
And it's like a whole situation. And then, the fetus, zygote, whatever, starts releasing the hormones that can tell if it's pregnant. But yeah, it like takes about 5 days, like 3 to 5 days or something like that. They wouldn't even know she's pregnant. There's definitely no way an ultrasound, you don't even detect a heartbeat till like 6 to 8 weeks. So it's all bullshit. I feel like whoever made this movie knew nothing about pregnancy, people graduating high school, or Catholicism.
That's probably a fair point.
I feel like they were just like, well, this is a thing in the world. Let's put our spin on it. They knew nothing about any of it.
Yeah. That
or high school dynamics of, you know, the weird girl all of a sudden finding a new clique.
Yes.
Let's
not forget about that.
Yeah. Anyway, to answer your question, no, it's bullshit.
Okay.
So sorry, long answer.
During this ultrasound, she finds out that Freddy is feeding the baby the souls, because that's a whole thing in this series. It's just he feeds on souls, and so he wants to take over Alice's baby by making the baby basically Freddy. And so he's given the baby the souls that, you know, of Greta and Dan. And so of course Alice wakes up and freaks out and starts shouting this out to the doctor, who gets concerned, and so she calls the doctor calls Dan's parents, who we then get some like minor like custody battle stuff here where they show up and they're like, yeah, so you're rattling on and on at the doctor's office about some guy killing kids in a dream, and we don't think you should have the baby anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, the doctor called them to tell them, and I'm like, hello, HIPAA violation.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Damn rich people. So then now it's like, oh, we got to stop Freddy, not only because, you know, to stop people from dying, but because they're going to take my kids away, my kid away.
Yeah.
So while all this is happening, the swim chick does not believe any of this is happening. Like, she just flat out refuses to believe Alice and even the comic book guy that this is all happening. And, you know, despite, you know, the comic book guy like, no, I fell asleep. I met this dude. Look at these scars on my hand. And she's like, no, this is all, you're all making this up. And this is, you're just freaking out because Dan died and Greta died and blah, 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 blah. And so she gets like so pissed off that she just leaves. Alice and the comic book guy, Mark, starts researching, Freddy Krueger and Amanda Krueger, and Allison remembers that in the dream at the beginning of the movie, you know, Amanda told her that they have to find where Amanda is buried. Again, this must be a Krueger thing. If you find where any Krueger's buried at and you do something with their body, you're free of them. Apparently, that's a whole thing in this family. I should put that curse in my family. I'm going to haunt you until you find my bones and bury and burn them. but first you got to go to a church and steal some holy water and a cross.
But leave your driver's license.
And leave your driver's license, exactly. So naturally what happens is, we get two kind of simultaneous things happening here. We get, Freddy going after the comic book guy in another kind of cool scene that I really enjoyed where, he finds a comic book that's, you know, all the stuff that's been happening so far. And he gets teleported into it via the Aha video Take On Me. If you've seen, that, it was, it was basically that. And then he gets taken into this comic book world, which I thought was kind of cool because I kind of like the muted colors, like in the background, and Freddy was like black and white, and they made like the sweater black and white, and they made the makeup like black and white. I thought that was kind of a neat like visual look. While the comic book guy was, all colorful and stuff. So he realizes he's in a dream, and so he turns into a superhero and starts like shooting.
You forgot about Freddy on a skateboard.
Oh yeah. That's right. We do see Freddy on a skateboard. Yeah, skateboarding all around.
Come into Mark before he turns into the superhero guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then disappears right as he gets to him.
Yeah. I did forget all about that.
That was special.
I did. Yeah, I did enjoy that too. But then he turns to a comic book hero, shoots Freddy. Freddy turns into a comic book villain. And turns Mark into basically a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then starts slashing him, which I thought was kind of neat, honestly.
That was a cool death, yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the swimming chick, she's in a jacuzzi just kind of chilling, you know, stressed out from all these people that's around her. And she ends up having fallen asleep and, you know, finds herself, you know, in like Freddy's like boiler room or whatever. And then she realizes, oh, shit, this whole Freddy Krueger thing is actually like real. And so Alice manages to jump into her dream and save her. And then we get this little like lore thing where Freddy's, I guess, scared of Amanda Krueger because he doesn't want to go near her. And so they feel like safe in like a certain part of the boiler room or wherever they're at. So he can't cross over there. I guess we'll talk about this now really quickly. As I was watching this movie, as we've been watching these past few weeks, it never occurred to me till now how spiritual these series get. Like, because it's all about like the spirit and souls and ghosts and kind of like mystical stuff, whereas, you know, like Friday the 13th was just an undead zombie just shows up and hacks people to death, you know. Yeah. But this one is like, you know, we have this guy whose origin story is he gets killed and has vengeance. He manages to haunt dreams, has a ghost, and kills the kids as they're sleeping. And then as the series is going along, there's all this stuff about, like, spirit, like, you know, is this, we gotta get the spirit of, you know, Freddy, you know, who's buried in the junkyard, burned the body, and we gotta find, you know, Amanda Krueger's spirit and free her so she can save that. And this is all like very mystical and stuff. And I was just kind of wondering, what's your take on all of this? Like, you know, like, do you like this mystical take on like a horror genre, or do you just like, or, you know, do you kind of miss like the Friday the 13th, like just slash them and be done with it?
I guess it lends more of a believable is too strong of a word, but an acceptable reason for it to constantly come back when you're dealing with the spiritual and mystical, other than, oh, here's Jason, who's just this big undead thug who keeps coming back just because, you know, because that's what he does. So though it can get a little too wrapped up in itself and go too far with it or take over too much of the movie a lot of the times, I do appreciate it because it gives a reasoning for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Better than just, oh, he's back again because he's undead. And that's the way it works. And we want money.
Yeah.
So, no, I dig it.
Okay.
For the most part.
Yeah, it never really occurred to me, like, till these recent viewings, how that has played into this. Because, you know, like, you know, I just think about, like, you know, Freddy and Jason and Michael and all that. You know, it's just like another slasher movie. But it's like, this is like a very like mystical like series. It's, you know, it's like, you know, people who believe in like dream catchers could like watch this movie and be into it and like and all that
not
stuff.
Not the actual movie dream catcher.
No, but... no. Like the actual things you hang outside and stuff. Yeah, it's just like a very strange take on a horror, and especially like a very popular horror villain, because, you know, this is like one of the ones that like kids always, you know, go to, you know, when you're a kid and you want to watch a horror movie, it's like, oh, Freddy and Jason, you know, Michael and all that, but it's like mystical and stuff, so you have to kind of wonder. And I don't remember, you know, as a kid watching these, catching any of that. Like, I was just like there for Freddy killing people, you know. So it just seems kind of strange to even throw that in there. So I don't know, just something I just thought about the last couple of movies, as we're all about, like, you know, spirits and souls, and we got to get the spirits saved and all this stuff. I don't know. So needless to say, the swim chick now believes what's happening, which is a little too late because now the comic book guy is dead. And so, So Alice tells her to go find the insane asylum and go look for Amanda Krueger's like body or soul or whatever. And then once she's freed, they can be rid of Freddy Krueger. Meanwhile, Alice goes to sleep and finds herself, you know, wherever Freddy's like little. Well, it was like it was the church. It was kind of the church thing at the end of the last movie, mixed with like an M.C. Escher painting.
Yes,
because it had all these
exactly
like
what I thought. Yeah,
it was all these like stairs going different ways, and with
horse
her
perspective and everything, yeah.
Right? And with her baby, you know, being manifested by this kid named Jacob, and you know, Freddy's like, "I got your kid," and you know, he's on my side, and blah blah blah. And so she's like trying to, you know, save, you know, the kid Jacob, and so then we get into this. So the last movie ended kind of strangely, and this is no exception.
Nope.
A lot of strange stuff happens in this ending as well. So she's trying to figure out how to stop Freddy from keep coming back. And Jacob is like, well, he told me that he's inside you, and that's how he found out about me. And so she turns into Freddy Krueger as he's coming out of her body. And I don't know how to explain that, like, in just words. You have to see this to get it. Like,
it's almost like she, when she found that out, I felt like she realized, when she found it out, she pulled his spirit out. But it was like he was right under the surface.
Yeah.
So, like, she gets all the burns and everything, and her face distorts. And then he's outside, but they're still kind of melded together.
They were still, like, together.
It was very odd.
So the swim chick manages to find the tower that Amanda Krueger is in, finds her, and frees her. And then she shows up in the dream and manages to convince Jacob to trick Freddy into, you know, separating himself from Alice, and then go with her, go with him. But then Freddy does this. He separates from Alice. And, God, it's such a weird-ass ending. Like, I'm just trying to, like, think how to describe this. And it's just, like, failing me because it's so fucking weird.
It is.
So Freddy then sees Amanda and kind of freaks out, and he turns into like the baby Freddy again, and they capture the baby Freddy, and Amanda Krueger holds it to her, and it goes back into her womb.
Also attacking her from the inside.
Yeah, it does. And then Alice, you know, Jacob turns into a baby, and then he does the same thing, picks up the baby, and then it goes into her womb. And then, yeah, Freddy then starts bursting out of Amanda, but then she jumps into the sun or something.
And the church, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I like these movies, but they don't know how to write an ending for shit.
No, they really don't. They're all terrible.
I feel like they have such great like potential, but then it's like, how do we kill him? Like, what do we do? Like, I felt like the last great ending was honestly part 3. And part 2 was terrible ending, but like part 3, I think was like a good way to end it. Like that whole find his bones, burn him. He's dead. That was very cut and dry.
But that wasn't even like the ending. I mean, there was still like, was it Kristen?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was simplifying it, but yeah.
Right. I mean, there's still all that stuff going on, like in the house.
Yeah.
And the boiler room and all that.
So, right. Yeah.
To save the Joey and there's still.
But to put it simply. It ended better, you know, because it was like just a very cut and dry, you know, here's this. The last one made no goddamn sense because he looked at a mirror and then exploded. And then this one, he sees his mom and then turns into a baby. So I don't know, like.
Not even like, a real baby, yeah.
Yeah, like a demon child. And and so, yeah. And, you know, then the movie ends with, you know, we see Jacob, it's later and Jacob's born and they're all happy and yeah.
The last of them.
And I can go ahead and say this. This is the last film that we see Alice in. So I can now ask you this, Rachel. What did you think of Alice as a character in these two movies? Like, did you think she was cool? I thought she was kind of cool. She's kind of badass. I like her character. Like, what did you think?
I liked her. I definitely did not see her. I didn't like where she started in the last movie becoming what she did. Like, I didn't see that arc she had. Just the shy, nerdy girl into what she was, because I hadn't seen the last one or this one.
Uh-huh.
So I was clueless about her character. And,
okay.
So yeah, I liked her.
Okay. I you know, every time I think, you know, about this middle series, I just think about Alice. She's the first thing that comes to my mind. And I just like, yeah, she's kind of a badass, you know. She stands up to, you know, Freddy, and she doesn't take any shit from him, and you know, she knows, you know, he can't hurt her cuz, you know, he needs her, so she's trying to find a way to stop him, and she just like kicks all kinds of ass in both these movies. And I'm a little sad that, like, you know, this is like the last time we see her character. I kind of wish like they would have maybe just kept, you know, like the next one, the part 6 was, you know, I know we've seen this before, but it was supposed to be the last one.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of getting ahead, but she is not in that one. And I kind of wish they would have, because I thought I'd been kind of curious to see where they could have took her character. But at the same time, I do like how they ended her character as well with this. Like, you know, she gave birth, she had a kid. At 18, yeah. Well, see, and that's the other thing, too. This is like the 80s, where that wasn't super looked down upon, I feel. Because I feel like I remember when I was a kid hearing a lot of, like, you know, people just coming out of high school having kids. It wasn't until, like, later, like, when I was in high school, then everyone was like, you shouldn't have kids, wear condoms, blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm not saying that in the 80s they wanted you to have kids or anything, but I felt like it was more of a thing back then. And then it kind of slowed down a bit, but then we get, like, super, like, teen pregnancies where you're, like, 15 and shit having kids. I don't know. I didn't think that part was so weird, but, yeah, everything else was. All right, so that's it for that. We talked about spiritual stuff. Yeah. So, Rachel, I know you're struggling to talk because of your voice, but just really quickly, just really briefly and really quickly, just what did you think of part five and what do you rate it?
I liked Alice, but I thought it had a lot of problems.
Okay.
I've already discussed, so I won't go back over them. But I at least appreciated the continuation as best they could with her and Dan, instead of setting up somebody new again. But like I said, filling the same cookie cutter tropes with the new group of friends and all that, it was very unnecessary and so repetitive at this point.
Yeah.
And I guess I'd say 2.5 out of 5.
Okay. All right. So for some reason, the last, you know, prior to this viewing, like when I last watched this some years ago, I didn't like this one. Something about it just back then, I must have just been in a bad mood or just something about this just rubbed me wrong. So I always, like, when I was planning this series with you, I think I even told you, it was like, it's going to get worse at some point in, like, the middle of the series. Like part five, I remember being pretty bad. But then this time around, I didn't actually think it was that bad. You know, I thought it was kind of fun. It was kind of a fun movie. Had some interesting kills. It's fucking ridiculous. I might have just been turned off by the ending, because the ending doesn't make any goddamn sense still.
No. Well, another thing is, like, Alice had absorbed all those powers of the other friends last time to fight Freddy. And it's like all that's gone now. And so she really doesn't do much.
It was like, it was kind of hinted anymore at in this one. Because, you know, her being able to jump into people's dreams was kind of hinted at. But that was about it. She never mentioned it. You know, and, you know, how cool would it have been if she absorbed comic book guy's power and she turned into a superhero? That would have been interesting.
I mean, she's a good character, but there's just not a lot she did in this movie.
Okay,
compared to the last one, other than just seeing everybody die.
Yeah.
I mean, everything just kind of worked out for her. It just happened to work out. Thanks to Amanda Kruger.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. But with that said, this time around, I kind of enjoyed it a little bit more. Still not the best one. Still not going to be the first one that I'll watch. But, you know, I didn't think it was that bad. I'm going to give it 2 stars. I think it's just okay. It's, you know, Alice really boosts that number up. Because I really do enjoy her character, and I really wish they kept making more Alice versus Freddy movies. Yeah, I don't know. I just liked it this time around. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was in a better mood this time. I don't know. But yeah, there you go. Okay, that's our take on Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5, A Dream Child. Short episode this week, because A, the movie was like barely over an hour long, and B, Rachel's not feeling good, so I don't want to keep her too long. So short episode this week, so keep it at that. A couple of weeks, we'll be back. We're gonna do part 6, which is simply just called Freddy's Dead, Final Nightmare. And that one I remember being excited for, so I'm very curious if my excitement still stands for it, because I remember liking that one when I was a kid. I'll get into that when we get to that episode, but I'm looking forward to talking to you about that one. And I think it's going to be a fun time. So, everyone out there listening, check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/maniacwithamachete. We post episodes there as well. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So that's it. Rachel, thank you so much for endearing this movie and coming on while you're sick. So I do very greatly appreciate that. And I hope you get better.
Thank you.
And that's it. So we'll see you all next week or 2 weeks from now. Bye.